Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The Word of God from Acts chapter 10, the second of our readings this morning, verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation among anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. For as the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were possessed by the devil, and for God was with him. And we are witnesses of what he did in both the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on the tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to all of us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead." This is the word of God. Please be seated. Nobody likes a fair-weather fan. Of course, most of you living in this part of the country, you don't know what fair-weather fans are all about, because you are, so many of you, fans of some elite teams. And so every season for you is a fair-weather season. But when you're an Iowa fan, like Renee and I, what you see as Iowa fans, we have to find our solace in the glory years of the past, or in hope that springs eternal. I still relish the great victories of the Iowa basketball team, who had a perfect season in the Big Ten, including a victory over the Buckeyes, 97-89. Of course, that was 1969 and 70. But one day, my team is going to rise again, and we will be the champs. And on Iowa's day, that's going to be my day. And what about those people in Jerusalem? Well, and rooting for Christ all of a sudden after he had risen. You know, when you have a team and you've had a lot of fair weather fans, and then you finally win, and those fair weather fans suddenly show up for the celebration, they kind of annoy you. You know, for years they're the ones who have been down on the team, criticizing them, highlighting every mistake, laughing at their losses, ridiculing the players and the program, and refusing even to wear the colors. But boy, when the team finally wins, all of a sudden they're there for the celebration, as though they've been loyal supporters all along. What about those people in Jerusalem who had rooted against Jesus? They had mocked him. They had laughed at him. Had put him to death. What were they to do when suddenly Jesus resurged and resurrected to win the contest? And not even them. Think about his closest followers. Even they couldn't pretend that they had been loyal supporters all along. When the weather was not so fair, they didn't stick with him. They denied him. They abandoned him. They fled from him in a shameless display of disloyalty. All right, and what about us? Do we even have the right to be a part of this victory celebration today? Haven't we all been fair weather fans of our Lord and of his kingdom, honestly? Sure, it's easy to be on his team today, on a day like today, when we celebrate his victory. But aren't we the ones, aren't we the same ones who once blamed him for the troubles that we have in our lives, as though our problems are his fault? And now this morning we jump on his bandwagon to celebrate. We are the ones, the very ones who willfully disobeyed his word and his will. And yet we come to his victory celebration and claim him as our Lord. These were the tongues that cursed and swore. And yet now we use those tongues to sing his praises and to laud him. We disgraced his name by our conduct and now we would honor him? When following him got too hard, we abandoned him. When loving him would have made us unpopular, we denied him. When obeying him would have made us stand out in a crowd, we disowned him instead. Come on, we are the ones, aren't we? The very ones who sent him to the cross. As the scriptures say, he was crushed for our iniquities. By all rights, the resurrection of Christ ought to put fear and trembling in us. If someone you have helped to murder came back to life, you would be terrified, wouldn't you? That's the stuff of horror movies, of Edgar Allan Poe, that the one you killed has now come back and he's coming at you. And we are all kith and kin to the ones who killed the Son of God. We are every bit as much the children of Adam as they are, every bit as liable for the crucifixion of Christ as they are, and we come under the same judgment. Who are we to suddenly show up here and hop on his bandwagon this morning and cheer him on as though we have been on his side all along? By what right do we join this victory celebration today? By what right? By the right that Jesus himself gives us. Listen carefully to John. John says, Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. They were not fans of his. And yet to all who receive him, John says, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. He gave that right. By what right do we celebrate today? By the right that he gave us. Not that we've earned, certainly, that he gave us. And in that same vein, Peter got up to speak in the days following after the resurrection, and he said these words. He said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation among anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. To fear him is to, well, first of all, it means to acknowledge that in the light of his holy law, we have failed him. We have not exactly been the most loyal fans of his. And then to do what is right is first and foremost to believe him, whom the Father sent for your salvation. And in that, in confessing that we haven't been the best of fans, and in receiving the one that the Father sent us, in this we become acceptable. He accepts fair-weather fans and forgives them when they repent of those times when they really weren't that loyal to him and to his kingdom. Peter, think about Peter. He had been a fair-weather fan. At one point he said, oh, you are the Christ, the Son of God. I'm here with you, Jesus. I'll never abandon you. But then when Jesus was arrested, and suddenly, obviously, he was losing, and knowing him suddenly became dangerous, Peter switched allegiances faster than Benedict Arnold. I'm no fan of his, he swore. John had been a fair-weather fan. The disciple that Jesus loved, right there in that innermost circle of the disciples. But when the opposing team came at them in the garden that Thursday night with clubs and swords, he hightailed it out of there so fast, he even left his clothes behind. Like a Detroit fan, you know, might throw off his Tigers jersey when the Tigers are down 10 runs to the Yankees, and underneath he's got a Yankees jersey on. All the disciples were fair-weather fans. When Jesus was up on Palm Sunday, they were right there. Hosanna! They were proud of their allegiance to him. But boy, Thursday night came, and the tide turned, and they turned yellow. And they left their coach to take the fall, to take the loss alone. But it was precisely for those sins, and for all of our disloyalty and our unfaithfulness, that Jesus died. And it was precisely for our justification that God raised His Son from the dead again. Otherwise, there could be no justification for our disloyalty to Christ. Except that Christ is risen. Again, Peter said, God raised Him on the third day, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. That's why His day is our day. Because He did all of that for us. As Paul said to the Corinthians, death and the grave have lost their victory. And the law has lost its power to damn us because God gives us the victory. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In His infinite grace, He not only allowed Peter and John and the other fair-weather disciples to come back to the team and to celebrate the victory with Him, but He permits us who believe in Him to celebrate with Him, to wear the crown that He won, to have a share in His resurrection glory, and to enjoy the spoils of His victory, the glorious inheritance of the saints forever. He gives us this victory. This is His day, and this is our day. If you have been a fair weather fan of Jesus and of His kingdom, and honestly, who hasn't? If you've been loyal to Him in here, but not so loyal to Him out there, well, this is your day. He actually wants you here, celebrating with Him. This is your victory. It is the victory of His loyalty to you over your disloyalty to Him. It's the victory of His grace over your sins, of His life over your death, and of a rolled back stone over your sealed casket and vault. So yes, yes, welcome to the celebration. But this time, and until we celebrate again, be true to your Lord and to His kingdom every day. The disciples, yes, it's true they had been fair weather fans, but they changed. They changed after the resurrection. And they became fiercely loyal to their Lord, even in the face of death. Be true to His kingdom every day. And join us here every Sunday for the ongoing celebration. Because with Christ, you are always on the winning side. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia and Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.